Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Genesis chapter number 13, let's begin at verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, or unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Amen. What we have read today is a known story, and unto us, calling of Abraham, and how that he would leave the land, but there was his nephew that was with him, Lot. And the Bible teaches us that those herdsmen between Lot and Abram, that they strove with one another. They had arguments and contention between each other. And so Abraham, knowing that it was not good, he just told Lot, he said, look, he said, you pick a direction and you go whichever way you want to go. And whichever way that you go, I'll go the opposite way. And so that's what happened. And this is where we pick up our text today. And the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him. Amen. And I simply want to preach to us for a little bit of time this morning. Let Lot go. Amen. Let Lot go. Praise God. Amen. Would you lift your voice and ask the Lord to help us here today? God, we love you. Oh, hallelujah, Savior, we praise you and magnify you. We exalt you today. Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful opportunity that we have. We thank you, God, for all that you have done, for all that you are. We praise you. We magnify you, opening up our hearts and our spirits unto you. Speak to us. Deal with us. Minister to us. Move upon us, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We'll give you the praise and the glory. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated here today. Praise God. Good to see Chuck and Delana back with us this morning. Amen. Praise God. Amen. They're taking trips to go see grandbabies or great grandbaby. Yeah, yeah. I can only imagine. I know what the grands do, and I can only imagine what the great grands would do. Praise God. So glad that they got to do that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. 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 Let God, let Lot go. Let Lot go. Praise God. The scriptures make it absolutely clear to us that there is no place in our relationship with God for just mere maintenance. Trying to live for God in this mode brings a lot of frustration. A lot of definitely unwanted frustration, but not just unwanted frustration, but a confusion as to why. And that's just simply because that scripture does make it clear that there is no place in our relationship with God for just a mere maintenance, but there must be growth. If we were to go to the book of Hebrews chapter number 6, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism and laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good work of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. And I simply elected to read that entire passage because that is the foundation that you and I are built upon. The Bible talks to us in the book of Ephesians that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and the apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And this is the declaration, or this is the expounding of what that foundation is. It is the doctrine of baptism and laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, the eternal judgment, repentance, baptism, infilling of the Spirit. And Paul, writing here, he would say that therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into or on unto perfection. And what he is not saying is that we are to forsake the foundations just go on and forget about the foundation. Because there's not an individual that has any type of building experience that would tell you or would begin to start a foundation. And once the foundation is built, they're not going to forsake that foundation and go somewhere out in the middle of a field somewhere and start raising walls. But they are going to use the foundation that has already been established. And so they're not forsaking the foundation, but they are building something upon the foundations that have already been established and laid in their lives. And we are not rebuilding and building and building again the foundations, even though that I believe that it is important for us to revisit the foundations, amen, because they are the things which we are built upon. But we are not rebuilding those foundations again. And so we can deduct from this that some good people never get beyond their foundational experience. They never get beyond the same experience of when they were born in Christ. If I was just to go back and just to remind you of the feeling that you felt, the cleanliness that you felt when you repented of your sins, not just simply because you got caught doing wrong and you was of a sorrowful disposition, but you were sorrowful unto repentance. Paul would tell the Romans or the Corinthians, he would tell them that you sorrowed unto repentance, and so that sorrow brought about a repentance that was not to be repented of. Or in other words, Paul is saying, I'm happy that you sorrowed unto repentance, and that later you weren't sorry that you did repent because you weren't done with what you had been doing. Paul said that when you repented, you were done with what you had been doing. When you repented, you were finished with all of that old works and you were ready to move on into something different. You didn't like the old man that was represented in the mirror. You didn't like what you were seeing. You didn't like those things, and so you repented and you were ready to change and to move on from that. And so you felt that glorious feeling, and then when you were baptized in the lovely name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you went down in that watery grave, feeling like a sinner, feeling maybe like a new creature with a lot of extra weight hanging on them. But when you came up, the Bible teaches us that we came up in the newness of life, and old things were washed away, and behold, all things became new. And that glorious, euphoric feeling that was upon you then. Or what about the moment that God filled you with the baptism of His Spirit. You began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Amen. And there was a joy, there was a glow, there was a feeling about you, amen, that you knew that God, amen, had welcomed you and pulled you into the family. The Bible teaches us that we were adopted into His family, that we thereby, wherefore we cry, Abba, Father, praise God. And so there is that experience that is there, that wonderful, glorious, amen, awesome feeling that we felt at that moment of time. But let me just remind you that is just the beginning of your Christian walk. That's not what God wants you to go back and just to simply remember, as in you'll never feel that away again, never experience those things again. That is just the beginning of some wonderful things that God wants to do in your life. And so he would state and he would say that, let us therefore go on unto perfection. Amen. We're going to get beyond this initial experience. We're going to get beyond just this first time experience, but we are going to experience new things. In the book of 1 Peter chapter number 2, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also are as lively stones, built up a spiritual house, holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so he emphasized that you may grow. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 17. Yea, therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall away from the steadfast, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Praise God. One more place we're going, or we're going to go to a couple of more, but Ephesians chapter number 4. And verse number 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man, cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait but deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. So Peter and Paul have spoken unto us and told us that we need to grow. We need to grow in grace and in knowledge. We need to go forth in to perfection. We don't need to act like a bunch of children that are tossed to and fro and carried about by every weight of wind of doctrine and magicians, and of how that the magicians can, with a sleight of hands, show you that there's a ball now and no ball. And like my grandson, amen, he's got a magic trick that he loves to show everybody, and he'll pull that hand up into his sleeve and he'll make you look at it, and then he'll go. And then he'll look at you and go, he'll show you, it wasn't there before, but now it is. Whoa, what do you think of that? And so it is the way that the magicians work with the sleight of hands. And Paul said that we ought not to be so easily swayed by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. But we need to speak the truth in love that we may grow up into Him in all things. Amen. We need to grow up in Him and not just grow old. Amen. Amen. Let me just explain to you a little bit. Amen. There's no doubt in my mind that every one of you can think of somebody and you can say to yourself, you know what? That's just a 40-year-old kid. You know what? He never grew up. He's just a 55-year-old kid. He never grew up. He never put away childish things. He never done anything. That's, amen. He's just a kid. That's what I'm talking about here right now in our walk with God. Amen. That we are to grow up in Him and not just grow old. Amen. Amen. Let me just say it like that, that there is a difference in having 20 years of experience and having the same experience for 20 years. That's not the will of God. God is not wanting you to have the same experience for 20 years, but He wants you to have 20 years and more of experience. Amen. God doesn't want you to get hung up on day one. God doesn't want you to get hung up on the foundations of the doctrines. He wants you to go on unto perfection. He does not want you to be just simply a babe in Christ. He wants you to grow in Him. Amen. Like as children, like babes, that they had desire for the sincere milk of the Word of God. But Paul said there comes a time in your life that you need to get beyond just milk and you need the meat of the Word of God. And Paul said, but I can't give it to you because you're not growing in Christ. Amen. This just signifies that there is something wrong with our relationship with God. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Paul feels the need to write it to a different place. You know what this tells me? This tells me that this problem, amen, is worldwide. Amen. Paul spoke it unto the Hebrews. Amen. He spoke it unto the Ephesians. He speaks it unto the Thessalonians, and the principle is there throughout the Word of God. Amen. I'm just telling you today, this is where the devil wants you to get hung up, because if he can keep you weak, if he can keep you anemic, if he can keep you like a baby, if he can keep you with a childlike spirit, I understand. Oh, let's not get all of those mixed up. Amen. As Jesus said, except that these would come unto me, amen, like a child of simple faith. Amen. We're not talking about that. We're talking about our relationship with God. Amen. Paul and the Lord is saying this is what's got to happen, and the devil is trying to keep you content with just crawling around. But God wants us to get up, and He wants us to grow. 1 Thessalonians 3:9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sake before God, night and day praying exceeding that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you, to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable. Holy. This is where God wants you to be. He wants you to mature that you may be able to establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. He goes on, amen, man broke it into a chapter, but he goes on in chapter number 4 and verse number 1, and he says furthermore, he said, I'm not quite done yet. I've I've got something else I need to say. He said, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more. And so there is the phrase that is continually used. Go further, increase, abound, abound more and more, grow up into Him. Amen. This is the purpose of salvation. Salvation is not just to simply save you at a moment, but salvation is to keep you. Salvation is not just to keep you, but thank God that it is. And Jude said to him that is able to keep us from falling, but salvation is to help us to get from here to there, to keep us from going from to there and get us to go into there. Salvation is to keep you from going to a place that is called everlasting fire that was created for the devil and his angels. Amen. Salvation, amen, is to help you to know what not to do and what to do. Titus said that the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. It's a continual thing. You learned in first grade, 1 + 1 = 2. You learned how to do double digits, but you didn't stop there. It taught you, and you learned to multiply, and you learned to divide, and you learned to factor, and you learned to put all of these things in equations. Amen. And that's what the grace of God is. It is teaching you that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what God wants. God wants the best for you. He doesn't want you to be tainted by sin. What does that mean? Amen. That means a bunch, amen, of going back and saying, I wish that I had never done that. Wished that I had never tasted that. Wished that I had never experienced that. And the grace of God is saying, hey, you don't want to go there. You don't want to do those things, because all it's going to lead to is regret, 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 condemnation, condemnation, condemnation. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ and who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Let's thank God for that here right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Every one of us, amen, every one of us understand what correction does to individuals. We all understand what the lack of correction does to an individual. We have a word for that, and they're called spoil. Good for nothing. Amen. I was listening to a tape at some point in time, a CD, something like that, some point in time, and I think it was Vicky Wine, and she was talking about some things, and she said, you know what? She said, if mama don't spank you now, somebody's going to spank you in the jailhouse. And what she was talking about is there is a purpose for correction. And I thank God for that correction. The Bible teaches us that to whom, amen, God loves, He corrects. Thank God He didn't just look at us and say, well, figure it out on your own. Figure it out your own self. No! God didn't leave me. God didn't leave me high and dry. Amen. But when I was down, He picked me up. When I was out, He drew me in. When I needed encouragement, He was there to help me. But He was also there, Brother Tom, to swat my hand when I didn't do things correctly. when I didn't do things right. Amen. He was there, amen, to help me and say, look, amen, if you don't get this right now, amen, you're going to get it in the future, and you're going to have a lot of regrets that's going to go with that, and a lot of condemnation that's going to go with that. Thank God for the conviction of the Spirit. Amen. Because God convicts you. Amen. You may do something wrong and God will convict you of it. Amen. But the devil will hold it over your head with condemnation and say, you're not as good as you thought that you were. You're worthless. You ought to just take the towel and go ahead and throw it in and quit. Amen. But God said, I'm going to use this to build you. I'm going to use this to cause you to grow. Don't stay at the foundation of repentance and baptism, and that's the only thing that you know, but grow up into God and go forth unto perfection. Praise God. And so, salvation is a journey. It's a journey of how far are you willing to venture out? How far are you willing to venture from your beginning? Let me go back to Abraham. And the first thing that we hear of Abraham, God kind of sets the scene of who that he is. Genesis chapter number 11, verse number 31, the Bible says that Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur unto the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. They came out of Haran and dwelt there. So this is our introduction into Abraham. It just kind of explains who he is, kind of sets the tone. In the next chapter, we start off in chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord begins to speak unto Abram. And he tells Abram, he said, get out of this country and get away from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. Now let me just stop and say, let me go back to the days of Jesus. And Jesus says that except that a man would be willing to forsake his father and his mother, his brother, his sisters, all that, take up his cross and follow after him, he's not worthy of it. And another place in Scripture it says that, you know, except that you would hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, and all that, you're not worthy. That does not mean that you hate as in what we have defined. That word, progressed so much further when you look at the etymology of that, begin to study it out. It just simply means it like this: except that you love less your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. If you don't love them less than you love God, you're not worthy of it. And why is he saying that? Because he knows. He knows. He knows that there are many that have familial ties. And because of those familial relationships, they will never go forth unto perfection. They'll never be what God would want them to be, and possibly they won't even be saved. And I could spend a long time talking about experiences and people that I know that are lost, were lost because of family. I want you to know, and I want you to understand from the get-go here today, I'm a family man. I am a promoter of the family. I believe in the strength of the family. I believe in helping
the family, doing everything that we can for the family. But yet that scripture is in there, and it's for me as well. The shoe fits my foot as well. And I would have to say that I love my family to an unmeasurable degree. But if my wife and my children were to all forsake the Lord and go off and begin to do other things, I cannot follow them. I must be saved. You say, well, you know what? That's going to create a lot of contention. You're right. It could. It could create an enormous weight, an enormous amount of contention. Create things that I never dreamed of, things that I never imagined, things that I would not have desired. But there's one thing that's important. If a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul, what has he prospered? And so it is that you have got to make up your mind. No matter what has happened in my past, no matter where I am today, the only thing that really matters, I must be saved. I must be saved. If my whole family were to go to hell, I can't go with them. I will do my best to try to help them. I will do my best to persuade them otherwise. I will do my best to throw out roadblocks and issue warnings and do whatever. But I have got to be saved. Peter told them on the day of Pentecost, when he told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, every one of you for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for the promise is unto you and your family, and to all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself. Save yourself. I don't believe that in preaching it like this that I am promoting a selfish mentality. I must be saved. And I want every one of you here today, I want you to be saved. But if you come to me and you tell me, Pastor, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back to the church anymore. I'm going to go do this and this. Just be prepared, because I'm going to tell you that I feel like that's probably the wrong answer. And it's not the best answer for your family. And how many times have I watched people, and I seen a lady and she had three precious daughters, and those precious daughters sat on the front row of a church, and they played the tambourine and stuff. I watched that mom walk in the back door all the way up to the front pew and usher her daughters right out the church. And today, to the best of my knowledge, none of them are in church. But I also remember sitting in front of that woman many years later with tears running down her face. And she told me, she said, Brother Cowan, she said, pray for my girls. Pray for my girls. They're lost. I don't even know where they are. They got illegitimate children. One ran off with the, was it the circus or the carnival? Ran off with the circus. She said, I don't even know where she is a lot of times. Another one, the man that she's with beats her all the time, and I don't ever get to see her. But she, pray for my children. Amen. You see the steps that you set for your children. Amen. Leading them somewhere. You got to make sure that you're leading them to the right place. Let them follow your steps to an altar. Let them follow your steps. Amen. To the worship place. Amen. The place of worship. Let them follow you to the house of God and establish something within them. Amen. That they will not ever forget it. Ultimately, they got to save themselves. And so this is where that the Lord begins to speak to Abram. Why? Why? Because they're all a bunch of pagans. That's what they are. Abraham's father, the whole land, the entire land is a paganistic land. They worship all kinds of deities and forms of God and all this other stuff. And so God goes down to Abraham and he begins to speak to Abraham. And he says, he said, look, he said, this is the only way that you're going to get free from all this. This is the only way that you're going to be blessed. This is the only way that you're going to have life more than all of this. He said, you've got to separate yourself. You've got to separate yourself. Thank God that Abraham was able to persuade his father and stuff later on in life and stuff. But here it is. Here it is. God speaks to Abram and he says, you need to leave. You need to leave. You need to leave the land. You need to leave your family. You need to go out and get thee out of the country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. We know who Lot is. It's been established. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And then in chapter number 13, we would see that there is friction. Here there's family again, and there's friction there. And the Bible teaches us that Lot's herdsmen were striving with Abraham's herdsmen. And they were just contentious and fighting and stuff. And Abraham knew that the end wasn't going to be good. And so Abram, he goes to Lot. And he tells Lot, he said, look. He said, this is what it's come down to. And he said, look about and choose what do you want? Choose. If you go this way, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. But just understand, we've got to separate. We've got to separate. And so the Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes, chapter 13, verse 10, and he beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And then it says these two little things right here. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou camest unto Zoar. Let me just tell you, many of these family relationships, they've always got, listen to me, they've always got a religious reason for what they're doing. But if you'll pay attention, you'll find out the real reason. All right? Read that. He said, Lot said, this is the way I'm going to go because it is even as the garden of the Lord. There's the religious reason. But he didn't stop there and he said, like unto the land of Egypt. There's the real reason. He wanted to paint it with a religious color. But when you really started looking into it, it was like Egypt. And that's really what he wanted. He didn't want Eden. He wanted Egypt. And so Abram said, all right, go. And we know where this decision took Lot. We know that Lot went that way. And he would be in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abram would have to go rescue him in time. And thank God that Lot listened. I understand the outcome of all things there, but nevertheless, Bible said that when the shepherd goes forth into the field looking and he finds the sheep and all he finds is two legs and a piece of an ear. Two legs and a piece of an ear. Really not a whole lot. No way to save anybody. Well, thank God he was able to find a little bit more of that with Lot. He was able to get Lot out. Got his wife out. Got two kids out. But we understand that he never really got Sodom and Gomorrah out of the two kids. And his incestual sons are born thereafter. But that's not what we want to focus on. We come to our text here today. And I'm getting ready to close. But we come to our text here today. And it is at this point when Abram, you understand that this is a hard decision for Abram to make. This is his nephew. This is somebody that followed him from the land where his fathers and brothers and all those others, they lived. And Abram woke up one day and he said, hey,
I think that it would be best if we just separate. I think it would be best if I just go. I'm going to take my wife and I'm going to go, and we're just going to walk. We're just going to go and just see. They were nomadic by nature, and so it's not necessarily a crazy thing, but this is who and what Abraham is going to do. And so Lot says, "Hey, Uncle Abram, do you mind if we go with you?" He said, "Well, you know, if that's what you want to do, you're more than welcome to go." And so time progressed. And as time progressed, the relationship got worse and worse and worse. And I wonder how long that Abram had to wrestle in his spirit before he finally made the decision. I wonder how many sleepless nights that he had, waking up in the middle of the night, knowing really what has to happen. I wonder how many days that he woke up, and when he looked at Lot, he said, "I know exactly what I need to do right now." And maybe he took a step or two and he'd stop and hesitate and turn around and decide not to. Maybe things will just get better. You see, I want things to get better. I want things to work out. I want it to be like I imagine it to be. I want it to be like that. Maybe it'll just kind of, you know, fall into place at some point in time. But there came a place and a point in time that Abram finally said, "You know what? Enough is enough." And he walked out to Lot. He said, "Hey, we need to talk." And in talking, he said, "You know," he said, "this isn't working. Our herdsmen are fighting each other. And so this is what needs to happen. You choose whatever you want to. You look, if you go left, I'm going to go right. If you go right, I'm going to go left. You make the choice, whatever you decide to do." Lot knew that this was the right thing. And so Lot looked up and Lot looked at, amen, the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he said, "I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go that way." And Abraham said, "All right, God bless." And he went his way. And Abram started a lonely journey, walking away, thinking to himself, "What did I do wrong? How did I mess up? Where did I go wrong? What happened? Why did it have to be that way?" But he didn't get very far down the road before a voice that he recognized began to speak to him. And said, "Abram, yes, Lord." He said, "I want you to stand up, son. And I want you to look around. And I want you to see. And I want you to know that everywhere that you go, I'm going to give it to you. Look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Whatever your eyes behold, I'm going to give it to you. And not only that, Abram, but because that you're doing right, I'm going to bless you as the sand of the sea. I'm going to bless them that bless you. I'm going to curse them that curse you. And I'm going to make it all generations come from you. I'm going to do beyond your wildest imaginations." And I'm sure that that probably picked Abram up a little bit, because the Bible goes forth in Hebrews chapter number 11. And the Bible teaches us this, that by faith, Abraham just continued to walk. And he walked and he walked and he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And he was the blessed. He was the head. He was everything that he could have ever imagined. I'm simply talking to you here today. I'm preaching to some people here, amen, this morning, that you've got some connections, and maybe they're family connections and maybe they're not family connections, but they're close enough connections to you that you would consider them to be family connections. It may be close friends. It may be desires. It may be the love of the world. It may be the lust of the eyes. It may be the pride of life. But there's something that you've got yoked up, amen, with you under your embrace. And you've been walking with it day in and day out. And you've been feeling the unction of God. Amen. As it's told you, you need to drop that. You need to walk away from that. And you're thinking to yourself, why does it have to be? Why can it not just be? Maybe it'll all just fall into place. But you're growing weaker and weaker.
weaker, and your mind's not thinking like it needs to think. You're not perceiving the things that you need to perceive. You're not understanding the things of the Spirit like you think you ought to be able to understand. And God has been dealing with you, and God has been moving upon you. Why? There's a blessing on the other side. There's a blessing beyond. If you will let Lot go, if you will let Lot walk away, you've got to separate yourself. You got to lay everything down. If you're going to follow after Christ, you got to forsake mother, father, sister, and brother. I want you to go to heaven with me. I want you to be saved. I want you to be, amen, to make heaven. I don't want you to be lost. But understand this, if you choose to do it, I'm not going that away. I'm not walking that away. I must be saved.
Let's stand here this morning. I must be saved. I must be saved. Every person goes through this multiple times in their life. Why? Because the devil just doesn't stop. He doesn't give up. For me, it was a 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old young man in high school, junior high and high school. I told you about it the other day, but it was coaches. It was my PE coach that ran me through the gamut. It was my PE coach that decided, I'm going to time everybody in the 40-yard dash and see how fast they are. And come to find out, my time was the second fastest in the entire high school. It was the coaches coming to me. It was my PE coach playing flag football with us and leading me on a long fade and me diving out, stretching out completely to catch the ball, catching it, rolling in with it. Amen. And then it was the coaches coming, knocking on the English teacher's door, saying, Miss Andrews, can I speak to Mark for a little bit? It's getting out there in the hallway. And Coach Futrell taking me and saying, hey, son, come with me for a second. I want to talk to you about something. You ever played football? I play it all the time at the school and stuff. You ever play organized sports? No, sir, never. You need to. You really need to. I'm telling you what, man, you've got it. I've seen your speeds. You're the second fastest kid in the high school. Do you know that? No, I didn't really know that. You are. I'm telling you what, we can make something out of you. We'll design plays. You've never played ball. We'll put you in JV for 2 weeks. We'll design everything. Design everything for you. 3 or 4 weeks, you'll be in varsity ball. You'll make it. We'll design it. You're going to be great. You're going to do works. Can't do it, coach. Can't. Why? Come on. You can do it. I can't do it. Not going to do it, coach. Not interested. Don't tell me you ain't interested. I know you're interested. I can see it written all over your face. I can see these things. It didn't stop. Track season comes around. Hey, can you come? I don't want to go. I think that running is the dumbest thing. You guys get out there and you have to run. And to get fast, I'm already fast. I don't even practice. Don't even show up at all of these practice meets. Don't show up. You don't have to come after school and practice. You don't have to come to all the meets afterwards. You don't have to do anything. I just want you to show up at district. That's it. Just show up. Promise me you'll show up at district. Run at district. Amen. We'll get you in. Come to find out, my times was classified all the way up there. We had a young man in our school that went to state in the hurdles, and I had a time that was just slightly slower than him. I don't know if I'd have made it to state. Don't know. But I'm just saying, it doesn't ever stop. Because when I graduated out of high school, it was this, and it was that, and it was this, and it was that, and it was this, and it was that. And now I'm 49 years old, and you think that it gave up? It hasn't given up. Amen. It's still this and that. Amen. It's still coming. It's still coming. It's still pressure. And somewhere or another, you got to say, no, I let Lot walk a long time ago. I let him go his way. I let the old man make his decision, and the old man left. And I'm walking in the newness of life now.
I want the blessings of God to be. Somebody needs to make some decisions this morning. Somebody needs to walk down to an altar. You can read in your Bible, amen, that when Lot made that decision was not an easy decision. But when God began to speak to him, the Bible says that Lot, or that Abram, built an altar there, amen, and worshiped the Lord. You need to make your footsteps down to the altar. You need to find a place at the altar, amen, and you need to have a reckoning day with the lot that's in your life and say, Lot, it's time that you go. I love you, but it's time that you go. We're not on the same paths, Lot, and all we're doing is striving against each other. Spirit warring against the flesh. Flesh born against the spirit. Constant friction, friction, friction. You notice that God didn't say, hey, Abram, if you'll tell Lot to go, I'll bless you. But it was after that Lot was separated from Abram. God said, Abram, I got something I want to talk to you now about. I'm going to simply ask you a question. Put yourself in the position that you're in right now. And with the love and the pull that is on you right now, I want to know, where's that going to be in 5 years? 5 years. 5 years. 10 years. What's going to run in your life? What's going to rule in your life? 10 years. You see, Coach Futrell and my paths, we've never crossed again. Varsity ball may have been a thing at that moment, but I'd be a fool to think that I was so good that I was going to have college scholarships and go into a NFL. No, but that's the lure. That's the promise. That's the promise. I could introduce you today to people that had full paid scholarships to go to Kansas to play basketball, and they gave it up to live for God. Can show you people that have done so many different things. Their lives have been blessed. Somewhere at some point in time in the way, you've got to say, Lot, it's time for you to go. Because I'm going to follow. I want to follow after God. I want to follow after God. Amen. Can we pray here this morning? I feel an urgency. I feel an unction of the Spirit.